Good morning and happy new year to everyone. January 1st, 2010, 8 a.m. Simandar City, Satsang VCD of Pujaneruma. Had a magnificent entry into the new year's last night with our current Nani Puja Deepak Pai. And now we are resuming the Satsang here in the morning. Yes. Jai Sachidanand, Jai Sachidanand. This is on Rag Dvesh, the series on Rag Dvesh, Attachment Aversion, Part 1, 2 and 3, Guru Purnima 2002, Chicago, Pujaneruma. She is going to talk about attachment and aversion. The first part we had seen the other day on Antarai, on Rag Dvesh, the basis. And let's see what... This is a DVD of three-part series, Guru Purnima, Chicago, 2002. So we are on part one of Rag Dvesh, Attachment, Abhorrence or Attachment Aversion. Jai Satchidanand, says Niruma, the awareness of the eternal is bliss. Mahatma, Jai Satchidanand to Mahatmaos. And he also, Niruben to Jai Sachidan. Yes, she says Jai Sachidan to Niruben too. Sometimes, and sometimes she says, I pat my own back and says, thank you very much, thank you very much. You've been a good, yes, Dada is pleased with you. And the Lord within you is very happy with you, she says. Sometimes you got to pat your back like this with your own. Are the Mahatmas happy? Yes, good. That's it. If Mahatmas are happy, then everything is good. If Mahatmas are happy, then Dada is happy with me, she says. The day Dada passed away, then I felt like there I did not have anybody. So I felt so lonely. In the relative level, I felt so lonely the day Dada passed away on January 2nd, 1988. But then what will I do in worldly interactions? So then I decided that from onwards, instead of Dada, Mahatmas will be above my head. All Mahatmas are Dada for me. So then I made all the Mahatmas my upari, my boss. And then I made Deepak Bhai my guru. See, she says that I made Deepak Bhai my guru the day Dada Bhagwan passed away, Dada Shri left his body. Because I made him my guru because he would never tell me anything. So, yes, he says, I felt like the Nani wasn't there because there are mistakes in worldly interactions, so you need somebody above you constantly. Somebody always to correct you and change you. Deepak Bhai will not correct me as far as worldly interactions are concerned, but in satsang points, in the finer points of satsang, he might correct me a little bit here and there. Because Deepak Bhai is up. And so he would just gently propose it. You know, it could be this way. It could be, you know, Dada, he says it could be this way, it could be this way. And so Deepak Bhai, Niruma would look forward to Deepak Bhai for minor corrections in, subtle corrections in the Vignan, in the science. But she kept all the Mahatmas above her head, all the Mahatmas above her. She says the slightest mistake and she says I told Deepak Bhai that if I make any errors, please point them out to me. point them out. Supposing I taste the sweet juice of doership or the sweet juice of having done something done well, and the respect that comes with it. When you swallow some respect, then you feel good about it, and that is a no-no in the path of Akram Viklam, then point it out to me, she says. She tells Deepak Bhai, if I get a little high on the horse of ego, in the relative ego, please get me down. And then, he says, when you are so aware in Samayik, says you be the self, B capital and S capital the self, and see the small self, then there is so much energies that express within, then it is the same thing. So if you cannot see something, then somebody above you will show you what to see within. Somebody that you have literally placed above you, and say, even it could be somebody maybe 2 degrees ahead of you. So it says, did a lot of samayik so that I came to the level where I'm at. So if somebody shows it to you, then your effort to see the mistakes and dig out the mistakes is gone. Somebody shows it to you, clarifies it to you for you. And that is how you will extricate yourself totally from rag and dvesh, attachment and aversion. So this is the path to become free from rag and dvesh. So let us go come into the topic, today's topic of rag and dvesh. Let us come today into the topic of rag dvesh. Rag dvesh. Everybody knows the basics of rag dvesh. Rag is attachment, dvesh is aversion, abhorrence. But let us look at some of the applied key points on rag and dvesh. How do you I will alert. We have very little time, so we will just touch the surface of this major divisions in Kashayas. This is the root cause of worldly interactions and life after life wandering. Rag, dvesh, and they arise because of ignorance. They arise because the ignorance of who am I. We don't know who am I. Therefore, rag and dvesh arises, and they are the fundamental basis on which the anger, greed, deceit and pride arises. Yes, in the scriptures it's been written that there is anger, and anger and pride go into, there are four, anger and pride on one side, they are considered man kashais, and maya and lobe, they are considered sweet kashais, or they are considered pleasant kashais. Deception and greed go towards pleasant kashais, and anger and greed go towards dvesh or abhorrence or negative aversion. This is the basic understanding. This is the introductory understanding of rag and dvesh. Anger and pride are related to aversion and abhorrence, and greed and deception are part of attachment or likes and pleasure. And one needs to be free from both of these to become vitarag, without attachment and abhorrence. So this is how you, in Akram Vignan, Dada has given us the greatest grace, that he extricates us from totally from rag and dvesh, and brings us into the state of equanimity through the settlement of files of equanimity with equanimity, and from ignorance, this is the stepping. First, rag dvesh leaves. To be free in the karmic path, you have to go step by step, and you have to become free from your own ego-related purushart of rag and dvesh, step by step. First, initially, they have to, so when something in the karmic path, now in the traditional karmic path, something negative comes and arises in front of them, then they have the ego, but they try to control themselves. They try to control themselves in the traditional step-by-step path. They try to control their anger. They try to control through the ego. Through the ego, they try to. But on the next step on the karmic path is vairagya. Then they go into dispassion. Even with the dispassion, they have ego and so-called vairagya. So then, therefore, with ego, they say, I do not want this. I do not want this. They try to renounce. And then the next step comes. Next step from vairagya in the karmic path. And then there is that sense of udasinta, a sense of displeasure. You are not attracted to anything. You are a sense of not a dislike, but not a like also. You are just neutral to everything in this world. And then, but they still, such gnanis of the karmic path, they have a very positive ego. They have neither pleasure nor displeasure. They are relatively neutral, udasinta, but they still have ego there. They have a very positive ego, I say. They don't have any inclination towards anything worldly. These gnanis of the karmic path, this is the thirst, and such udasinta, such lack of pleasure or pain, such lack of any tendency towards pleasure and pain on the karmic path is the mother of equanimity. And here on the akram path, we are automatically placed in the mode of equanimity. We are bypassing those initial stages. And we are bypassing vairagya, we are bypassing dispassion, we are bypassing. So in the akram path, instantly the equanimity arises. Why? Because you have attained the self, you have attained the conviction that I am the self. So this is the critical difference. So can you see throughout, in the step by step, in the karmic path, you have to renounce the gnanis or the highly elevated souls on the karmic path. They are udasin. They are neither for it nor averse to it. And that is a state of a prolonged state through a relative subtle ego that it is happening. And so this is so just when they develop this kind of udasinta and neither positive nor negative state, inner inclination, then they are very close to their enlightenment in the karmic path. And that is the mother of equanimity. And when they become enlightened in the karmic path, then they come into equanimity. And then, but Dada Shri has placed us all in Sambhav directly, in equanimity directly. And yes, the kids may be bothering you, the wife may be bothering you, the husband may be bothering you, your companion may be bothering you, but you are in equanimity. So there is, it is Sharina, it is Werner who is in loss of equanimity, but there is a clear-cut separation from the one who is in equanimity versus the one who is restless. And slowly, with that as the base, he rises higher now through the five agnas. And so from equanimity, then he comes from, now we have three stages towards vitarakta, absolute detachment, like the Lord. So this is a very subtle difference between, there is a very subtle difference between equanimity, sambhav, and samatha. In sambhav, we have to actually go into the mode of settling into a file, into equanimity. There is no, and samatha, which is a natural mode. You do not have to settle a file with equanimity. It happens automatically. So as you go a little bit higher in the application of the five agnas, then naturally the samatha, which is a little higher state, will arise, like Deepak Bhai's, where there is, you don't have to enter into the mode of applying the five agnas. The five agnas will be your natural state. And from samatha, then there is a final state of vitarakta, where there is zero element, no evidence of any aversion, no evidence of any attachment towards such a anything or any person in this world. You are absolutely done with rag or dvesh. There is no rag, there is no pull, and there is no dvesh, there is no push, there is no aversion. So you you are now free. So we have now just described six stages in which you rise higher. We have bypassed the three. Yes, sir. But Mahatmas fit it for sure, absolutely like cement. Never let it be moved from you that I am pure soul. And everything else that is happening, it is the junk of this file number one that is discharging. Whether it is good or bad, it really is immaterial. It may be good, it may be bad. You remain encased and absolutely solid that I am pure soul. And the rest is all discharging effects. And then something may, bad may happen, something negative may happen. Don't move away from your seat. Don't let it upset you. You are the pure soul. You are absolutely beyond rag and vesh. These rag and vesh are not happening to you. They are happening to Michael. They are happening to Katya. They are happening to Sharina. They are happening to Feather. They are not happening to you. Yes, this pragna is the independent energy of the liberated self. And will pull you away towards a higher state. Now you need to hang on to that, have that line of demarcation in a very clear-cut manner, and keep it. Never lose sight of that line of demarcation. And you know, yes, pratikraman is done by Michael, it's done by Katya, it's not done by you. Remain in your full awareness. Try to increase. Yes, and with full awareness, tell Katya, I don't care, ask for forgiveness. You screwed up, you ask for forgiveness. This is, you see, no, make her do the pratikraman. She might want to be lazy. No, you hurt her, you hurt him. Do the pratikraman with full remorse, with full repentance. So, and then if you remain in this clear-cut line of demarcation, just like this, easily you will be rising even higher in your state of liberation. Nothing will impede you, nothing will stop you, nothing will obstruct you, no confusion will arise. At the moment, from here on, no rag dvesh for you, no attachment, no subtle attractions, no aversion. This is happening to file one. Yes. If you remain in this exactness of separation, nothing will touch you, says Niruma. Yes, you just need to catch that line, catch that very subtle line. Anything happens, immediately you should know who is it happening to. You should remain in the awareness of I, the Supreme Self, Bhavo, the awakened one, or the one with the kashais, and Mangardas, which is called this body complex of Katya, or Feather, or Lisha. See, so this remain in the threefold. Initially just separate it. Who is this happening to? Immediately it is the non-self complex, and therefore you are done with it. This is very, very critical. Separate it every time. Do not try to solve it. If you try to solve it, you will be dragged away on the other side of the line of demarcation. Yes, yes, it is happening. It's going to happen. You might get confused a little bit, but immediately come on this side of the line. This is called Vignan. The other one, you're trying to solve it through Gnan, through knowledge. But Vignan is that which happens when you, the moment you move on this side of the line of demarcation. This is the precise demarcation. Dadashri has said to all the Mahatmas, this is your filled junk from last life and it's going to unfold. Yes. It's like a little child. He will, as he starts walking, initially he'll fall down, but then again he walks, then he falls, then he walks, then he is independent, and then he doesn't need anybody to help him up. Dadashri says, now that you have attained the Gnanvidhi, you are for sure rising in the direction of your liberation. You are going higher and higher, says Dada. There, Dadashri raising his finger. You are never going to fall from here on. You are. So.
Can we move you back?
If you think...
Can we move you back a row?
Yes, yes, I can.
Do you mind?
No, so.
Just train.
So you just have to keep on doing pratikraman.
No.
Please sit down. Yeah, it's okay. Just, okay, I'll just stand. Is it better for me? Okay, yes. Just, so then recognize that there is moha. Try to understand the moha. Try to understand. But you see, once you see, and if you want to extricate yourself from this residual kashyas, you have to go into the illusion. What is this illusion? Now, what is this illusion that is dragging me to the other side of the line? What is this illusion that is making me become antara? What is this illusion that is making me become bharat? You see, because now nothing can move you. If you want to move faster, then you start investigating this illusion. You look at this underlying illusion that is still covering you. You can say immediately, if the slightest rag dvesh arises, immediately say, not mine, not mine, not mine. This is tayas. These are master keys. Apply this. This is master keys. Apply them. Not mine, not mine. You see? And if you use the keys that you've got, then the locks will open. But if you have a whole bunch of golden keys and if you hang it on your waist, is it helpful if you don't use them? Use the keys that you've been given. All of these keys have been given to you. Use them. And this is such beautiful keys you've been given. Look at this moha, this illusion, this one that makes you become antara, that makes you become awareness. Yes, yes. But he says, then now Niruma is moving into the subtle aspects of moha. Yes, between fine to what? Why are you so attracted to these children and the grandchildren? What is this illusion? I know, you're just waiting for them. See? There are very few that who do not want to get involved in that extended family relationships. She says, I have seen, I've observed this, especially the ladies get so involved with their children and the grandchildren. Because they go to school, they are not attached to you, you are getting attached to them. You see, now she's going to the relative attachments here. You get so stuck with them, you are, Nadashri has said, he says, Dadashri has said that father is a carrot and the mother is a turnip. How can the son become an apple? You see, they are just constant. They are constantly fighting between themselves. Then how? What will the child see? The child sees parents fighting. If the child sees parents fighting, how is he going? The child going to be raised? Some children. Somebody's and then he says, some kids now, they do 2 years out of the 4 years college. I want a break. I don't want to study, the young man says. I want to take a break. He's just finished high school in 2 years. And so now Niruma says, hey you, I'm doing overtime so that you can go to college, and now you want to take a break. Now he takes a break. And then he just keeps on bickering. And then he earns a little money from little odd jobs.
Mom,
I'm tired.
I'm on break.
I'm go get a little car, I'll go this and I'll get this. He says, how come, what about the money for the books that I got you for your university? You're thinking about a car now. If you earn your money and then you want to spend it, that's fine. See, my showing sign with different spectrum of this illusion of rag now. She's moved into a little bit more distant into the rag aspects. And then again you work even harder to give some extra money for your child. And he is enjoying the money and you are working your butt off. Sorry. Okay. So you don't need to get so carried away, and supposing he goes out, you don't need to suspect. No, don't get into this attachment, unnecessary attachment for your children or for your... As long as they're studying, let them study. But why the break after 2 years? Let them finish the whole studies. No, tell him, go ahead and finish it. I'm not going to give you a break. Finish your studies and then you can take a break. And this is typical with the kids in US. Yes, you are totally for your children, but don't show this extra more attachment where you work overtime so that they can enjoy their little cars. And then they watch TV until 2 a.m. in the morning. They are not doing their studies. This is nothing but your illusion for your children, for your illusory attachment for your children. And these kids are manipulative. They are very manipulative. They will continue to manipulate you. Yes, what is mandatory for you, what is your duty, do that as parents or as a wife or as a husband, but don't get carried away by your illusory attachment. And do it with understanding, do it with the understanding of the long-term results of these. You are allowed to do it, but do not do rag or dvesh. Perform your duty, but do not get into the rag, the attachment mode. So otherwise you're going to jump from rag and dvesh, from attachment and aversion and attachment and aversion, likes and dislikes. See their pure souls, send silent signals to the pure souls within them. Some children, some teenagers, they don't even study, so they don't even enroll it. And then they want to get married by registration. These teenagers want to get married by registration. And so, without the permission of the parents. So this is Niruma is saying that we tell our teenage boys and girls not to get too carried away in their desires to get married so soon in life. Do it with some awareness of the responsibilities that you're entering into as far as marriage is concerned, and be very careful when you go in marriage which involve cultures that are not your own, because of the natural automatic difficulties that will arise. However, once it happens, we do not have any aversion to it, or we do not oppose it. It is just that we just caution you that life is going to get a little bit more complicated as far as your cultural and your relative adjustments are going to be there. He says, as far as your teenage interactions are concerned with boys and girls, do not get too carried away, just understand. Do not get too tickled from inside at a very young age. They're talking about the biology of teenage and early youth. He says, instead of keeping separation, now she's saying, keeping such separation in terms of who am I and what is all this, you get so carried away by the illusory attachment. And so then, once you are in that mode, then despite having this gnan, do you see how your boat will be rocked by your illusions and attachments? Just recognize that I am your soul only, and this is an account of Theya, of Bharat, of Misha. Just let go of this body complex and let it see how it plays in this relative world. Instead of becoming too attached to this body and this body idea, let this body play according to the forces of nature rather than you manipulating this body. Let it be in a free fold play. Let it all just happen. Don't get into this insistent modes of this. You know, once you throw a top which is spinning, do you try to stop it? And this is exactly how it is happening. It was wound in the last life and it is unwinding in this life. Don't try to interfere with this top that is spinning. These thought, speech and action complexes are just happening. Remain with the rag in it. Remain unattached in it. And sometimes if you see a top spinning, you think it's about to fall off and then just lie. But no, it will just again, it will pick up its speed and it will go. We think it's going to go, he's going to go, he's going to leave this world. He's in the hospital, he's going to die. And the next thing you know, a month later, he's doing exercises in the gym. So this is how this life is, so unpredictable. So there is no need to do rag dvesh in this. You need to move in your direction of itarakta and final liberation. From this, now let us go a little higher. Now let's go to dvesh, the abhorrence. Dada Shri's jnana is such. The day you received this jnanvidhi, from that day you became absolutely free from any evidence of dvesh or abhorrence or dislikes. From that day you became with the dvesh. But bhamado means tops. You know, there's a top like a, have you seen a little top? It's a toy. You wind string around it and then you throw it on the ground and it spins on a sharp point. That is, and so the other she says, we are all tops. We human beings are all tops. We think we are running this play, but it is really unwinding. We have nothing to do. Yes, sir. Now he says, if the little boy doesn't have the string, she will pull it out of the mother's or the father's little pajamas, that string. He will wind it around the toy, and then he'll hold it, and then he'll fling it. And when he flings it, it starts spinning, and it's colorful, so it changes colors. Niruma says, I have done all the games. I have played all the games in my childhood. I have played table tennis, and then badminton. I've done all kinds of games. She says, I've played all the games all these kids have played in my youth. These are all tops. What are you going to do? Everybody is spinning from the effects of the string wound in the last life. Question?
Champion.
Were you a champion? No, I was not a champion in table tennis. See, Nirma says, I was a little plump when I was little. He says, from the very beginning, I've been on the plump side, on the heavy duty side. But she says, until the end, I was fat. How would I run with all my weight? She says. I would wear a skirt and a blouse. I used to play. In inter-science and in the pre-medical admissions, and we have to have some merits, and so that apart from these academic grades, you have to have some other grades. You need to have some extracurricular activities so that you can gain admission in medical school. So in order to gain that, she went into the sports mode, so she had to go do some sports. You may be first class, you may have good grades, however you need to have some other extracurricular percentages. You at least, you know, if there's sports activities going on, even if you are not a very sporty person, sports inclined, you would have to give the presence. She says that she would go present herself there, but take, you know, abscond and go and watch movies. And then inter-college, the university level. When you play it, then we get you. If you're a captain in the game, then you get extra marks. Then you get 10 to 12%. So my marks were better for my medical school admissions. I was number 13 out of the 100 who were accepted in medical school, says Niruma. I had no capabilities to be a captain. She says, even though I was a captain, made a monitor in the school and in the university level, but then it was just for the admissions in medical school. But from here on, now all you have to say is this is a... She says, I have photographs of my youth and childhood, but this is nothing but a packing. When I look at my own photograph, I see this is nothing but a packing. This is just an external packing, is it not? So they will say, you're such a lucky captain, you're such a lucky captain, etc. So anyway, Niruma had leadership qualities even from the very beginning. But can you see, she says, we have digressed. We were supposed to talk about Vaishan Rag, and we have gone into the way I look and the way I was looking. So now she says, we have digressed and we have gone on a wrong direction. So let us become free from rag and dvesh, attachment and aversion. Supposing something really bad happens, anger, deceit, greed, pride happens, do pratikraman, move away from it and have sincere remorse, and then come back into your original seat. Come to your original seat. As you remain in your original seat, you will progress on this side of the line of demarcation. I am pure soul, and I am moving in the path of absolute soul state. This is 100% golden state, 100% golden truth. This is my ultimate truth. I want to move in this direction only. The rest is on autopilot. You don't have to do anything. And then Dadashri says something more beautifully, that you, if you want to be free from rag and dvesh, attachment, aversion, then find out on what basis this anger, greed, deceit and pride are up and around, are existing. What is the reason underlying this? Why are they still expressing? What do I want in life? Am I seeing faults of somebody else? Am I seeing faults of somebody else? Am I seeing him or her as flawless and faultless? Why am I seeing her fault? The more you convert that vision towards flawlessness, the flawless vision, you will become Vitarag. You will move towards. This is, the Tirthankars have said it again and again and again, that see your own fault. This is what makes you see the other person at fault. fault. The moment you see somebody else at fault, it is your fault only, and get rid of it. Just recognize that the other person is absolutely faultless and ultimately flawless. But this is the path they all became absolutely liberated, and they are showing us this path. They are saying that nobody is at fault at all whatsoever, and we are saying the same thing over and over and over again. There are so many evidences and reasons why the other person is totally without fault. Your gnan tells you that, your knowledge tells you that. Just if nothing, if you cannot understand it, just first thing, recognize that the other person, no matter how much he may have tormented you, how much obnoxious he may have been towards you, he is absolutely faultless, and nobody in this world is at fault at all. And if I see anyone at fault, it is verily my own mistake only, and no one else's. Just get that imprinted, get that emblazoned, get that notched and etched within your inner state. And as long as you continue to see the fault of anyone to the slightest extent, you will not enter the realm of liberation. This is, it must bite you within that you are seeing the fault of the other person, because it is pure and sheer darkness and ignorance. Even if you can see it, and then if you can see the fault, yes, you might see the fault, but do not see him at faulty. There is a difference between fault and faulty. Now, you know, it may be a fault of Katya, but she is not faulty. She is not the one, the bearer of the fault. It's a fault, it's a mistake that has expressed through her medium, but do not look at her as faulty. So now the fault is has a reason. You now start looking at the underlying reason for the fault, find out why it is expressing, why am I seeing that fault, and then you will see Katya or Misha or the other person as faultless. So you have the gnan within you, so you'll see the other person without the fault. Yes, the gnan will tell you that is pure self. So do not see. Yes, yet you may be aware of the fault, that this is a mistake, because the mistake is anything that hurts anyone. So, because you should not think that the other person is the doer of that fault. Yes, it is just merely apparent, but he is not the doer of that mistake. That knowledge must not leave you. He is not making the mistake, it is happening. It is simply happening. So then you have to see the other person as flawless and nirdosh, without any faults, and then with ragata, within this absolute state of detachment, will arise within you. This is, vitrakta is the ultimate state, there is nothing. But yeah, there is a, below vitrakta there is compassion, and then the karunyata, karuna. In compassion there is really no doer. But so higher than samatha is karunyata or compassion, and then vitrakta, there is an interim. So there is a fourth stage there. So then there is equanimity, and then there is naturalness, where there is samatha, there is natural equanimity, then there is compassion, and then there is vitrakta. That's the ultimate. That just if you see the mistake of anyone, put a cross over it immediately. And then immediately go into the pratikraman mode, make this file number one go into the pratikraman mode. He's not doing it, his karma is making him do it. It is an account that is unfolding. Be kind to the person, so be sorry for that person, because he is weak, he is not able to rise above that kashai within that him, so that he is weak. But you certainly are strong enough to recognize it, and therefore you should not give in to these kashais. To give in to kashais, to give in to anger, greed, deceit, pride is the weakness. And not to give in to it is your internal energy, the pure energy that needs to be contained and raised higher. And so then as you rise higher, then you will become the instrument of salvation in this world, where you will have compassion for all, the true compassion as it meant to be. And then he is constantly involved with how can everyone else attain this beautiful, absolutely glorious state that I am experiencing. In Aptavani 13, there is a very beautiful new talk, Niruma saying. This is 2002, Aptavani 13 had just come out at that time. Niruma says, that she says the root cause of this entire worldly, we used to think that it is rag or dvesh, but Dada Shri says the root cause of this worldly wandering is not attachment, but it is abhorrence. Abhorrence, aversion is the root cause of entry into this worldly life after wandering. So, initially it showed us that, my love, in this anger, greed, it's in fact anger, greed, deceit and pride, initially he says they're components of attachment and abhorrence, but ahead in Aptavani 13, he says all four are based on aversion and abhorrence. He says they are actually rising out of aversion and abhorrence. And it because, why? Because all four cause suffering in life. All four lead to misery. They are two sides of the same stick. You enter into a rag mode, there is on the other end, there is dvesh automatically there. At the bottom of it all, there is dvesh. Now, where did this dvesh or abhorrence arise from? So, really the abhorrence. When he, in the Gnanvidhi, you are made 100% with dvesh. Abhorrence, aversion is left. How? How? Because dvesh, this aversion or abhorrence in you, in man, is the root cause of worldly life. It arose. How did it? It goes away in the Gnanvidhi. And if that root cause is not removed, this aversion, if this is not removed, you will not retain this self as capital that you attained in the Gnanvidhi. Every Mahatma has an experience that after the Gnanvidhi, all anger and all dvesh, all abhorrence, all negativities leave all of a sudden. And so then he is able to start to experience the S capital self energy. Yes, like and dislike is kind of minor spectrums in the middle. Dvesh is the extreme at the other side, the aversion. Yes. Okay, so Dada Shri says we do not have rag dvesh, but we have like and dvesh. If we come in this hall, we like to sit on that chair. But if you tell us to sit down, we will sit down. But we have a natural preference for a chair, and that is the like and dislike even the Gnani has. But the Tirthankar is absolutely beyond rag and dvesh, or likes and dislike too. If somebody tells Dada, no, Dada, you're not supposed to sit on that chair, sit down here, then he'll sit on the floor. But he says that natural preference that we demonstrate is the residual likes and dislikes that even the Gnani Purush has, but the Tirthankar is even free from this. He says, Dada Shri says, our Mahatmas do not have dvesh. He says, Mahatmas do not have dvesh at all, but it is in this charge. But the Gnani is free from all dvesh also. So the Gnani is above all of these. So at the bottom of this all, there is the dvesh. We have become with the dvesh, without dvesh in the Gnanvidhi. This is a very beautiful technical term. This is his own exclusive word. This word is ours. With the dvesh, with the rag everybody knows, but with the dvesh nobody knew. With means without. With means without rag. But with rag everybody knows. But you have to first become with the dvesh. First, all abhorrence, negativity, scorn, dislikes have to leave from you before you can become the self. He says, Dada says, now that you become without abhorrence and negativities or dvesh, you don't need to try to do anything to get rid of your rag or of your attachment. He says, because rag is the result of dvesh and therefore it is the result of abhorrence. Attachment is the result of abhorrence. If we remove the cause, which we have just removed in the Gnanvidhi, the rest of the things, the rag will just automatically, progressively fall off. you will not have to do anything to remove the rag or the attachment or that which you like. So we have, this is the greatest achievement that we have received in the Gnanvidhi, which is to become absolutely free from dvesh, which is abhorrence and negativities. It, otherwise it is extremely difficult to remove it. Anger, scorn, this whole world exists because of vengeance and revenge and a sense of I shall get back to you, an eye for an eye attitude. But this has been removed from Mahatmas permanently. Okay. So this is the end. Deepakbhai is going to do Vidhi for us. So please just visualize your forehead on the toe of Deepakbhai. Jai Sachidanand. He's doing good. Happy New Year to all everyone. Happy New Year. Jai Sachidanand. Yeah, you can put it here if you want to. Yes, yes, yes. Jai Sachidanand. Sooner or later we'll have to become Vitrak, so why don't we start today? Yes. Establish this goal that this, I want to remain in Gnanji capital throughout the year. And no matter what happens to the world, whatever happens to the world with Rag Dvesh, I am the absolutely unattached one. Let us do the Vidhi. Let's do the Vidhi. Shuddhatma chu, 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 Jai Sachidanand, Jai Sachidanand. How many Mahatmas are here? About 200 to 300. What happened to the rest of them? Deepakbhai is asking. About 400 to 600 are here. There are more than 200 here. There are about 600 more. Yes, they are all here. Deepakbhai is keeping an eye. Jai Sachidanand, Jai Sachidanand, Jai Sachidanand.